Greet you. And one gentleman, this is his first time in the United States. He's from India. So why don't you guys come up? Hallelujah.
Thank you. Well, good evening. Good evening in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We snuck in on your pastor tonight, and it was very good of him to give us a chance to talk. My name is John Parker. I am with a ministry called Advancing Native Missions. Our heartbeat is Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the nations will be preached as a witness. This gospel of the kingdom, I'm sorry, will be preached as a witness unto all the nations, and then the end will come. So that's our heartbeat. We come alongside indigenous ministers and missionaries all over the world, approximately 180 ministries in about 100 different countries around the world. And we enable them to make this verse happen. Don't you want the Lord to come back?
Amen.
Amen. But we enable them in different ways. We come alongside them. We don't take over the ministries. We evaluate them. If they are reaching the unreached, we come alongside them in various ways. What my wife and I do there is, some of these ministries in the world, we can ship containers to. They will email us exactly what they need to build their ministry. Clothes, vehicles, computers, whatever. School supplies, desks. And we just got a 24-foot truckload of things with Shirley today. And we send them to them what they ordered so they can reach more people for the gospel. We have encouragement groups. We have medical outreach. We have construction team outreach. We have an outreach to persecuted people around the world. So many Christians are being persecuted for doing what we're doing right here. And so they're also, as you know, very effective. They're already there. They know the language. They know the customs. They can do things there we couldn't do. They're very, very effective money-wise. And Jesus died for them too. Amen?
Amen.
They are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Your pastor and his wife were just with a missionary from Nepal, Philemon Chetri and his wife, and they are part of A&M. We were like their headquarters. They come here. About 30 missionaries a year come here, and we do their itinerary, and it's kind of a place for them to come and go from one place to another, and they have a computer to use, places to stay, and all kinds of things. Another brother that is here with us tonight is Brother Kishore from Calcutta, India, and this is his first time here, and he's part of A&M too, and I'm going to let him come up here and share what he does. Thank you so much. For Claudius's ministry. Well, thank you so much. Yes, and he got that approximately 2 weeks ago. I haven't got any pictures yet, but I'll tell you, I'll try to remember, and if I don't, if he sends pictures, we'll send you some. We encourage them very much when they get a container to send us a lot of pictures so people can see what's actually happening.
Okay. It's nice to be here in the house of God. I just want to praise God, the fellowship that I have with you this evening. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity to just briefly tell about myself, who I am, and so on, and what I'm doing. My name is Kishore Pandagade. I come from India, and I'm based right now in Calcutta. And I am the president of Calcutta Bible College, one of the internationally famous college. It's a small college, and we train up around 72 students every year. And we believe we believe God's word, and we train them up, and we send them in different, states, wherever they come from. Especially, most of them, they go for pastoral ministry, and some go for missionaries, and then some of them evangelists, and then some of them administrators in the various institutions, Christian institutions. That's one part of my ministry. Secondly, I have a ministry. It's known as Reach India Ministry. The base is Calcutta, and I'm trying to reach out the people, those who are not yet reached. And of course, we do have a lot of ministries in Calcutta. And Calcutta, as being the historical place, people love to come and be part of, Bengali people. I'm sure you know Bengali people. They are very famous. They are very intellectual people. They love politics. But they don't like, you know, what they don't like is, you know, you can talk to them about Christ, but don't bring them to Christ. They value the tradition and the family. Grandfather and mother becomes God for them, God and goddesses for them. Okay. And I leave a place where the goddesses of destruction known as Kali rules. It's a communist state, so you can imagine the confusion there. People love religion there, even though they are communist. And they protest Christians. They may not like to accept Jesus Christ, but they do protest Christians if there is any persecution or if there is any suffering, especially for the Christian. And so that's where I live. And they are very receptive to gospel, especially the coastal areas. We have 152 islands in right in Calcutta, maybe about 3 hours, you know, journey by road. And I'm trying to reach out these islands, not 152, but only 52 islands, because other 100 islands, you will find only the huge, you know, big tigers, the Royal Bengal tigers. Have you heard about that? Yes, they are there, and they are very dangerous cat. And, you know, they can swim underneath the boat, they can catch you and eat you up. Now, that's what's happening, actually. So I'm trying to reach out these islands. They are poor people, they are fishermen, and they have no medical facilities. You know, nobody, government doesn't care for them, and so on. So if they do not care, who will care for them? So that's what I felt, I should go. It doesn't matter, even it is difficult and hard. And so we pray and we go and we reach out to them. Right now we have 3 churches established, and we have 3 missionaries working there. So that's what it is. And thirdly, I worship in a church that is most historical church. If you know Dr. William Carey, the founder, missionary, modern missionary, man who comes from England, and then he had no education. He had only 3 grades. But believe me, within just few years, he learned the India's root language, and he became the best professor in a Hindu university.
Wow.
And within no time, he interpreted or translated Bible into 40 languages, 40 Indian languages. So imagine the seriousness this man had. The grace of God was upon him, and he took grace of God so seriously, and he was able to do something in Calcutta. In fact, the whole West Bengal. So this is what, you know, I am doing, and I would appreciate your prayer, and continue to pray for India. India needs to be redeemed. India needs the gospel. India needs Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
Well, just wait up here. Just let's just stretch forth your hands to Brother Kishore. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you, Father, that your anointing is upon him and your grace is upon him. Father, I ask you to give him favor. Begin to open doors of opportunity for him to preach the gospel in the name of Jesus. Father, deliver him from unreasonable and wicked men. And Lord, let your anointing and power go forth from him, Father. Give him ideas and wisdom, Lord, on how to win his country and the people that you've sent him to. Lord, I just give you thanks and praise. That blessed are his feet, Father. They are beautiful, for they bring the good news. Lord, just strengthen him with might. Father, cause him to be a blessing wherever he goes. Provide for every need, Father. Lord, and deliver him from those cats in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many know what an indigenous person is? If you don't know what an indigenous person is, raise your hand. Okay. An indigenous person is someone from a country like India. You work with someone who's from India. That's what it means, indigenous. So A&M works with people that are from the countries that they're ministering in. And so that's what that means. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to talk a little bit about strong faith. Why don't you just make a muscle with your arm, you know? And what would it take for you to strengthen that muscle? Exercise? What else? Proper nutrition? It was just reported that the swimmer, Michael Phelps, you may have heard of him, he's won 5 gold medals so far, he eats 12,000 calories a day. And so yeah, that's pretty amazing. 12,000 calories a day. And he swims 5 hours a day. So he basically sleeps, eats, and swims. And it's paying off, isn't it? Whatever he's doing, it's working. So what we want to do is we just want to look at a couple of examples of people that demonstrated strong faith or great faith, and we want to glean some insight as to how that came about. All right? So Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin here with verse 21. And going away from there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a woman of Canaan, say of Canaan. Canaan was not known for their faith because Israelites were given the land of Canaan as a possession. And God said he was going to move all the ites out of the way. And so she was from Canaan, and she came out of these parts, and she said, have pity on me, Lord, O son of David. My daughter is cruelly possessed by a demon. And he made no answer to her. How would you like to come to Jesus and him not say a word? Amen? Most people would have quit right there. I can't believe that preacher didn't even acknowledge me. He didn't even look at me. He didn't even talk with me. But you know what? Strong faith has some characteristics about it that are perseverant and persistent, and it is unwilling to quit or to change from its position. All right? So Jesus, he didn't answer her. Then his disciples came up and pressed him, saying, send her away. She is wailing behind us. I'm reading from the Moffat's translation. So not only did Jesus not answer her, but now his associates, his staff, they said, send her away. She's wailing after us. But you notice the woman is still there. See? Right? Then he replied, it was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that I was sent. In other words, he said, I'm sorry, but you're of the wrong race. Now, that would have really thrown people into a tizzy. Jesus is a racist. You know, I could see headlines now. But see, what are you... See, faith is going to hang in there no matter what comes its way. See, if someone is truly in faith, nothing out of the circumstance can shake you from what is in your heart if you're really in faith. All right? So Jesus said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And, but she came and knelt before him. See, she didn't worship him at first. But something changed in her heart. And she knelt before him. And she said, Lord, help me. And he replied, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What? The woman said, you're calling me a dog? But see, the question is, what do you really believe? Do you really believe that Jesus is the answer? Do you really believe his word has the power that you need to change your circumstance? Okay? But she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. See, now she calls him master. At that, Jesus replied, woman, you have what kind of faith? Great. What was great about her faith? She refused to quit. She refused to move from her position. She says, you know, think about it. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. We don't know how the demon got there. We don't know what her and her family were involved with. You know, I'm probably sure Brother Kishore sees a lot of demonic activity. And she was grievously vexed, her daughter, by this demon. She was desperate. And she could have quit four times. But she refused to quit. And as a result, Jesus labeled her faith great. So what does it take to have strong faith? It takes a willingness to not quit, to persevere, to be persistent, and to keep on keeping on. True faith does not quit or give in no matter what comes its way. See, the devil will try to get you to change your mind about what you believe. Jesus really can't deliver your daughter, so you might as well just go away. But true faith is like, speak to the hand. I'm staying right where I'm at, and I'm going to hang in there no matter what. Jesus, now, she didn't start off having great faith. That's good news for you and I. Amen? But at some point in her situation, she crossed from the area of doubt and unbelief into the arena of faith. How do we know? And then she got exactly what she came for. See, true faith will produce results. See, but her actions demonstrated what she believed. She came to Jesus. She hung in there even in the face of, you know, the devil was trying to apply some pressure on her to quit, to stop believing, to give up. And if she would have given up at each opportunity, her daughter would still be in the mess that she was in. Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Your prayer is granted as you wish. Now, that's from the Moffats. And from that hour, her daughter was cured. See, strong faith is going to produce results. And see, these stories are not just stories. They actually happened, and we can learn from them. They're for our example. All right? Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Strong faith comes from a willingness to do anything, say anything, to get to Jesus. All right? Luke chapter 5, and look at verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, everybody say teaching. Do you think people's faith were being built up while he taught? Do you think that as he was teaching, you know, faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God? So Jesus, who was the word in the flesh, he was teaching, he was speaking, he was giving forth God's word, and faith was rising. Faith was being produced in people's hearts. So as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal who? Them, okay? What was present? His power. What was it there for? It was to heal them because he was teaching, because faith is powerful, okay? Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, say the crowd. They walked, you know, you could have walked into this building. You could see every seat taken and you could say, oh, I'm just going to go home. There's nothing here for me. But see, faith, strong faith, comes from a willingness to do anything to get to Jesus or to the truth. In other words, you're not going to let anything stand in your way. In other words, you say, I'm coming to get what I need, and that's it. Okay? So, come on, you got to have faith. Strong faith has to be bold. It has to be radical. Amen? So, they were looking for a way to bring him in because they couldn't because of the crowd. So they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Now, I don't know if they had rope with them or what. I don't know how high the ceiling was or what. But imagine, they couldn't get in the door, so they had to find another way in. Strong faith will do anything to get to Jesus or to the truth or to the Word. So they couldn't get in the door, so they come through the roof. All the religious people thought Santa Claus might have been coming in. Who knows? But come on, that's a pretty radical thing, isn't it? Not only did they found the place right where Jesus was and lowered him right in front of him. Look at verse 20. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. What did he see in their faith? He saw a willingness to do anything to get to Jesus or the truth or the Word. Who are going to get filled when it comes to the kingdom of God? The hungry and the thirsty. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are going to get filled. Now, come on. If you have someone in your house and they're hungry and you've got a nice pot roast sitting on the stove and you've got that aroma, you know, when you walk in the kitchen and all the scent just hits you and you're like, well, that smells good. Try to refuse a hungry person that food when you set it on the table. A hungry person, if you set that food on the table, says, oh, that's pretty nice. No, they're going to, man, that's hunger. You know, let's eat. He saw their faith. He saw that they were determined. See, faith is determined. Faith is not going to let its miracle pass it by. Faith is going to go after it, no matter what. Who would have thought to go up into the... Notice, what was the power of the Lord doing there? It was for who? It was for all. But who left with the miracle? One. Why? Because the Pharisees and the religious people, they were sitting there doing nothing. See, that's what religion will do. It'll say, you don't have to do anything. But see, true Bible faith is going to act on the Word. They knew that Jesus, they must have heard that Jesus was a healer. They must have heard of some healings that took place. Otherwise, you wouldn't go through so much trouble to get there. But Jesus now, he sees their faith. He said, man, your sins are forgiven. Now, the religious people had it. They were thinking, who is this guy that can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. Hello. But see, they were too blind to even see that he was God. And so he said, so that you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin, which is easier to say, take up your bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven. It's the same anointing that does both. Faith gets you saved, and faith will get you healed. So Jesus, just to satisfy their religious thing, he said, take up your bed and walk, even though he was healed when he said, your sins are forgiven. Because of what they did to get to him. What have you let stop you from getting what you want from God? Don't take that attitude. You got to be aggressive in your faith. It's okay to have aggressive faith, bold faith, strong faith. Jesus now took notice of their faith. And that paralyzed man who was paralyzed got up and walked because of the faith of him and the people that dropped him in front of Jesus. He rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. That man had never walked up until this point, or I don't know when he was paralyzed. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Well, is that strange with faith? What is impossible to them that believe? Nothing. Nothing is impossible to a believer. Well, how do you know what you believe? By what you do and what you say. Your belief is revealed in your words and your actions. So if you say, I believe this, but you act or talk different than what you just said, then you're not really in faith. Because your words and your actions have to be in agreement with God's word. All right? Go with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 36. Strong faith comes from an abhorrence of sin. All right? Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Say, she was a sinner. Now, most people involved in sin, they want to hide. They don't want to come clean sometimes. All right? But notice what this woman did. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table, I don't know how she knew. I don't know if she was following him. She was stalking him, you know. Wherever Jesus went, she went. And as soon as he sat down, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, for a sinner to make this bold statement in front of everybody at the Pharisee's house, the Pharisees, Jesus, she did not care what people thought. What she wanted to do was she wanted to get rid of her sin that had put her in bondage. And she saw Jesus so attractive. She said, he's my deliverer. This is my way out. And I don't care what people think. I am coming to Jesus. How blessed are the feet of them that bring good news. She anointed his feet. She cleaned them with her tears and her hair. See, strong faith comes from an abhorrence of sin. When you abhor sin, you're going to do what you need to do to get rid of it, to get it out in the open, to be clean from it. This woman didn't like how she was living. She needed to change. And so she does this act in front of everybody. You know what? Faith does not take an opinion poll of what people think. Is it all right if I come to your house while Jesus is there and wash his feet. She didn't make an appointment. She just showed up. She just, when he sat down at the table, she was right there. You know, because he makes a table in the presence of your enemies. But see, she didn't care what people thought. She wanted to get rid of her sin. And notice verse 50. Jesus told her, he said, your sins are forgiven. And in verse 50, he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She came in a sinner, but she left a new creature. She left with that burden of sin removed. She left knowing that she was forgiven. She was cleansed. She was made whole. She was now in right relationship with God. She now had access. And Jesus hadn't even been to the cross yet. And he said, your sins are forgiven because of her faith, because of what she did with what she believed. Can you see that? We're talking about strong faith, great faith. What does it take to have strong faith? You know, I hear a lot of people, usually when something bad happens to a quote-unquote good person, people will say, oh, that person was a person of faith. Really? Well, how do you know? It was obvious in the examples that we're reading, Jesus took notice of their faith. There was something they did and something they said that revealed their faith. Her faith saved her. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. Not of yourself. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. She received her gift early by faith. Jesus hadn't even shed his blood yet, but he said, your sins are forgiven because of what she did. Are you getting a picture of strong faith? Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Why are we studying this? Because I want you to have strong faith. I want your faith to produce results. I want your faith to bring about a change in your life, whatever you need changed. It's going to come by faith. It doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come by hoping. It doesn't come by wishing. It doesn't come by not doing anything. It comes by faith. And faith acts and faith speaks. Romans chapter 4, strong faith comes from a complete and utter trust in God's word and being fully persuaded that God can do what he said. Did you get that? Strong faith comes from a complete trust and utter dependence on God's word and being fully persuaded that what God said he can do, and he'll do it for you. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 17. As it is written, he's talking about Abraham here, I have made you a father of many nations. Let me just ask you a question. How was Abraham made a father of many nations? Yeah, but what did God do for Abraham to make him a father of many nations? He what? He tested him. And what did he speak anything over him? He said, you are no longer Abram, but you are Abraham. Way back in Genesis 12, he said, I will make you a father of many nations. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. He spoke the word over him. And Abraham was bold enough to believe what God said. So he said, as it is written, say, as it is written. I want you to notice that Abraham's faith did not vary according to God's word. He believed exactly what God said, and he had an Isaac. He said, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. When God spoke that over Abraham, did he have any kids? He told them he was going to be a father when he had no children. But he had a problem. His wife was barren. And time was passing on, and finally it got to the point when both bodies weren't working. But God's word works. Even if your body isn't working, God's word will make it work. Notice, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. In other words, he had nothing to hope for, but he kept on hoping. So that he became the father of many nations. Notice, say he became. Aren't you glad that he didn't start off being a father of many nations, but he became what God said? Guess what? If Abraham can become what God said, so can you. That's good news. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. He didn't even think about his body. He didn't talk about his body. It wasn't a consideration. It wasn't his body that was going to make him a father. It was God's word. It had nothing to do with his body, although God was going to use the body. But his strength, his ability came from God's word, came from what God said. This gets me pumped up. And he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Guess what? If you're dealing with something in your body, don't make it a topic of conversation. If you don't consider something, what's the phrase, out of mind, out of sight, out of sight, out of mind? If he didn't consider his body, then he didn't go around talking about his body. He was talking about what God said. I am Abraham. Nice to meet you. I am Abraham. I am Abraham. He kept repeating what God said. Imagine that. Verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Do you know how long it took for him to have an Isaac? About 25 years. How'd you like to keep believing for 25 years for something? How many would you have quit after year 5? Or after year 1? Oh, it didn't come. It must not have worked. You just bought the devil's lie. Abraham had to keep believing from day 1 to year 25. He had to believe that he was going to be a father of many nations. He even tried to help God out, but that was the wrong path. How many know that when you try to help God out, God doesn't need your help? Thank you very much. God is saying, thank you very much. Just keep your help to yourself. I'm a very present help in trouble. What are you going to do? For 25 years, he had to keep that one promise alive on the inside of him. How many know that God doesn't operate according to time? God is a spirit. Isn't he? He is eternal. He says, Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. So time is just for our benefit. It helps us measure things. But you know, faith doesn't come by time, does it? Faith comes by what? Hearing what? Amen. Y'all are sharp. So he didn't waver at the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith. Say, strengthened. Aren't you glad that we can strengthen our faith? So if your faith is weak, you can strengthen it. You can take a little vitamin JC and HG and strengthen your faith. What's vitamin JC? That's Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Take a little JC and Holy Ghost 3 times a day and see how strong your faith will become. He was strengthened in faith. It didn't say that he went into a phone booth and became faith man. I am faith man. No, what? To me, when you say that something was strengthened, strengthened, it's a process. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. When you walk, you're taking one step at a time. And with each step, your faith can get stronger and stronger and stronger until you've got some serious faith muscles. Your faith muscles have muscles. You know, like Popeye, when he eats the spinach, he'll go boom, 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 and then the final muscle will have a muscle. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He kept praising. He kept thanking. And he was fully convinced or persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham had nothing else to rely on but God's word. When you go to those islands, and if a cat tries to bother you, you have authority to take dominion over every creep and crawly thing. You can tell that cat to just keep your mouth shut. It worked for Daniel in the lion's den. Take authority over those cats. Say, sit down, little kitty. You laugh at that. You don't think that would be great faith, wouldn't it? Jesus would come along and say, man, you've got some great faith, and that Bengal tiger be eating milk out of your hand or something. All things are what? Possible to who? All things are not possible to them that don't believe. It's not, you can't have that as a truth if you don't believe, but if you believe, all things are possible. Let's just believe in the possibility. I don't know about you, but this is helping me a lot. So he was strengthened in faith. He just simply was fully convinced that what God said, he was able to do. You know, he got so convinced of what God said he could do that he could do, that when God said, give me your son Isaac and offer him as a burnt offering, God said, Abraham said, okay. He arose early in the morning. And he told his staff, he said, me and the boy are going to worship and we're going to come back. You wait here. He was so convinced, he was fully persuaded that what God said, he said that if I kill Isaac, he's going to resurrect him. That's why he was able to tie Isaac up. He was able to raise the knife, but thank God he heard the voice of God. He didn't stop listening. He got so fully persuaded that when Sarah died, Abraham had four more kids. The power of God was working in him in such a way. You got time for one more? Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm here to pump your faith up tonight. We want you to have strong faith. Strong faith comes from a decision to stick with the right choice and not allow anything to move you from the choice you made. James chapter 1, verse 5. Say things happen in life. When things happen in life, you have a choice. You can get sad or glad. James says, if you fall into diverse trials and temptations, count it, have a joy countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Isn't that what he said? Count it all joy. Okay? Now, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, and we have all lacked wisdom at one time, what are we supposed to do when we don't know what to do? Ask of God. How many believe God can give you wisdom? The Bible says that Jesus is our wisdom. What's wisdom? The ability to make the right choice. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Who's supposed to ask? if you lack, if you're the one who's lacking wisdom, then you ask God. What is God going to do with, when you ask him for wisdom? What does it say? He's going to give you, how's he going to give you wisdom? He's going to give you liberally, and he's not going to hold back. It'll be given to you. Say, if I ask for wisdom, God will give it to me. Say that one more time. Say, if I ask for wisdom, God will give it to me. So don't go around saying, I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Ask. If you ask, what is God going to give you? He's going to give you wisdom. Now here's the kicker. How should you ask? Let him ask in faith. Do you know that if you can be in faith, you can also be out of faith? Let me ask you a quick, I'm going to give you a pop quiz. True or false? You are out of the building. False. What would make that statement true? Huh? You're in the building, right? How did you get in? You walked in through the door. Jesus is the door, isn't he? So, if you're in faith, you're in Jesus. You're in agreement with him. You're in alignment with him. You're Christ inside minded. What did you say? You're abiding in the vine. John 15:7, if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will. Notice, if it's possible to ask in faith, it's also possible to ask not in faith. How do you know when you're not in faith, when you don't get what you ask for? I'll just let that sink in. But let him ask in faith. How do you do that? No doubting. Does God really want me to... God, do you really want me to be blessed? I'm not really sure. Well, you better not ask in that state. If you're not sure he wants you blessed, you better find out if he wants you blessed before you ask. How do you ask in faith? You go to the book first. You see what the word says about your circumstance. And then you ask. Too many times, people ask and they've never gone to the word, so they're not sure if God wants what they're asking for. If they're not sure if God wants them to have what they're asking for because they didn't go to his will first. If I was about to die and I wanted to include everyone in this room in my will, how would you benefit from the stuff I want to give you? Let's say you didn't know I put you in my will. So would you know that I've given you anything? You've got to go to the reading of the will before you can lay claim to anything that rightfully belongs to you. Isn't that true? You can't just take, if you don't know that you're in the will, how are you going to know that I've given you something? The only way that you know I've given you something is the will says so. Same is true. How do you know what God's given you? It's right here. You've got to ask in faith. With no doubting. Say, no doubting. No doubting. You've got to be sure. You've got to be confident. You've got to know. The man who came through the roof, he better know that Jesus is a healer. Otherwise, he did all that stuff in vain. The woman with the issue of blood had better known that if she touches the hem of his garment, she's going to be made whole. Otherwise, to touch him, to make all that effort would be in vain. No doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea. And I didn't even take ballet. You ever see a wave? there's no stable ground. A wave just moves back and forth. Back and forth. I'm healed. Oh, I don't know if I healed. I'm healed. I don't know if God healed me. I'm healed. What am I doing? I'm wavering. What does the Bible say? Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You know what it means to be double-minded? To have two opinions. Remember Elijah? And I'm going to close with this. He came against the prophets of Baal. He asked this question, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, if Baal is God, then serve him. But if God is God, then serve him. You can't serve both God and Baal. In other words, you need to make up your mind with what you want from God. What do you want? Make up your mind. How long halt you between two opinions? And Elijah said this, the God who answers by fire is the real one. And he challenged the prophets of Baal. And I love what the Living Bible says. Oh my goodness, it just cracks me up. While the prophets of Baal are doing their thing, the Living Bible says, as Elijah speaks to the prophets of Baal, he said, where is your God? Is he on the toilet? But the prophets of Baal, they did everything they could, works, human ingenuity, limitations of the mind. But they couldn't get their God to answer. Why? Because he was an idol. There is no such thing as the Israeli idol. Because God hates idolatry. But Elijah, he poured water on the altar. He soaked it. And he said, Father, he prayed. Fire came down. And everybody went, oh, he's the real God. Now, there were some that changed their mind, but the prophets of Baal got killed because they didn't change their mind. So, when you ask for wisdom, you've got to ask in faith. What does that mean? No doubting. You've got to be sure. You've got to know. You've got to be confident in God. Not in yourself, not in anybody else, but in God and what he said. And you can't waver. If you believe God for healing, then stick with it. I don't care if people say go away. I don't care if Jesus doesn't answer you. I don't care if he says he's sent to someone else. You still believe it. You never move from this position because strong faith doesn't move. It doesn't waver. You can't knock it loose. It will grab hold and it's not going to let go. And that is what's going to bring a miracle. And that is what's going to bring an answer. That's the kind of faith that you have to have, that I have to have. If you want to see anything done in the kingdom, if you want to go preach where the Bengal tigers are, you're going to have that kind of faith. You're going to have to be fearless. Because, besides, you don't have a spirit of timidity. You have one of love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you. So say this with me. Say, I purpose in my heart to walk with God and to have strong faith. I'll strengthen my faith in the Word. I'll strengthen my faith with my words. I'll strengthen my faith by doing what God said do. I'm a person with strong faith. I don't waver. I'm perseverant. I'm persistent. I will not quit. I will not give up. But I will hold on to God with all my might, with all my soul, and with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Now, you get to practice that starting tomorrow. Good. See, you guys catch on sharp. I was just trying to catch you. That's right, because faith is what? Faith is now. See, if you wait till tomorrow, the devil will give you opportunities to change your mind. God bless you. Have a good night.